Now I know you're all going to be pretty sorry to hear I'm not preaching on this gospel today. You have gained a reprieve, because instead today we're going to hear about diocesan council. And just as a parish is required to gather every year for an annual meeting, which we do in January, so too is the diocese required to gather yearly, and for similar reasons as ours: to elect people to positions on commissions or to represent the church, to hear about what's going on with groups within the diocese, to honor volunteers and staff that serve the diocese, and to conduct the business of the diocese. And it's interesting to note that this was the 125th gathering of the Diocese of Southern Virginia. In 1892, when it was founded, Bishop Hollerith looked back to see what was going on at that time. So I did the same and used some of his plus a few more. So back in 1892, Grover Cleveland was elected president. Probably not one of our better known ones. The Dalton Gang was killed in a bank robbery in Kansas. In 1892 was when Ellis Island first opened to immigrants into the United States. It was the first basketball game, the first toothpaste tube, the first clothes dryer, the first concrete paved street, the first time the Pledge of Allegiance was used, and the first night football game. Who knew? And 1892 was also when the Coca-Cola Company, General Electric, the Sierra Club, and the University of Chicago began. All that plus the Diocese of Southern Virginia 125 years ago. So the meeting is run by the diocesan bishop, which in our case is Bishop Hollerith, and he's very efficient at keeping things moving. And one of the first things we do at diocesan council is hear an address by Bishop Hollerith. And Adam Mackey, who's one of our delegates, was supposed to tell you about that this morning, but he has had an unfortunate meeting up with a stomach bug today, so he's not here. So I'm just going to give you a brief summary of Bishop Hollerith's talk. And basically what he noted was our heated political climate today and how the church should not be an angry political presence, but instead should strive to be a non-anxious presence. However, he did remind us that sometimes we do have to stand up for others, as he believes that social justice, or working to help those who have been marginalized, ignored, or mistreated, that sort of social justice is implicit in the gospel through Jesus' teachings. So he made the distinction between outreach and social justice, and that social justice is different because it tries to examine the systemic causes of things that gives us the need to do outreach, like feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and helping those who live in poverty. So he said that the churches need to become more aware of social justice and work to correct those systems that need to be changed in order that there is less of a need for those who suffer. So he's formed a task force within the diocese to help parishes begin to learn to deal with that issue. And I think it'll be real interesting to see what his task force comes up with. So that was sort of the gist of his address. And then just to tell you a little more about council, every church in the diocese has delegates that go, and the number of delegates from your church depends on how big your church is, how many members. And all clergy are required to go to diocesan council. And then each church sends its delegates. Emmanuel had 4 delegates and 2 alternates. And this year we were represented by Allison LeClaire, Joni Upson, Adam Mackey, Susan Summerlin, and then Tom Summerlin and Mary Glenn, who were our alternates. Also present was Jim Rayburn, our faithful sound conductor back there, who was also the faithful sound person for the diocesan council. And then Gail Nicholson was there also this year because she worked as a teller. And so in just a few minutes, two of the delegates will share their experiences with you. But one thing they asked me to share was the information we got from our keynote speaker. So you have the bishop's address, which he talks about what he's concerned with in the diocese. And then they usually bring a keynote speaker in from outside to talk about something. And this year's keynote speaker was a gentleman, a priest named Timothy Dombeck, and he works in the Diocese of Arizona. But he has a great deal of experience and expertise in the area of stewardship. So he had two different times that he talked to us. And I'm happy to say that many of the suggestions he had has already been discussed by our own stewardship committee. And some we've put into action, and some we've just talked about and hope to do. However, he also had some new things that sounded really great, and I'm excited to share that with our stewardship commission. But the main thrust of his talk was this, that stewardship is about all the gifts that God has given us. And he made the point that everything is a gift from God. And it does encompass our time, our talent, and our treasure as those gifts. And he talked about the minimum standard of giving, or the tithe, 10%, that we have in the church, and how we can work toward that goal of tithing. And he reminded us that giving and generosity are spiritual practices, that we don't just give because we have to. We give because it's part of our spiritual life. It's part of how we relate to God, and it's part of how we learn God's generosity by responding in kind. And so he reiterated that it was really all about relationships, our relationships with each other, our relationships with God, and our relationship with the greater world. And he was a great speaker. He was knowledgeable and he was funny. And I believe that really the whole group enjoyed learning from him. So now we have Joni Upson and Allison LeClaire to come on up and talk to you.
Good morning. My name is Joni Upson, and I have just completed my two-year term as a delegate to the Diocesan Council of Southern Virginia. It has been a most enlightening experience as an Episcopalian, and I suggest that you consider serving at least once. The knowledge and the information you acquire regarding the Episcopal Church is awesome. A few highlights that were mentioned that you may be interested in knowing are, number one, this is the 40th anniversary of women being ordained to the priesthood. In 1977, 100 women were ordained. And in 1984, the first women were ordained to the Diocese of Southern Virginia. Two of the ladies were at council, and it was really awesome to have them stand and be applauded. One of the ladies was ill, so she wasn't there. 12 new men and women have signed up to go to seminary to become priests or deacons, so they're will be new ideas, new things that these young men and women will be giving to our diocese, and we're all looking forward to where they're going to go. There were memorial resolutions which honor the clergy who have served in our diocese and who have died in 2016. Some of you may remember a priest that was interim here, Robert New, and he was one of the priests that was honored. And it was really nice to see all the priests that have given their years of time and service to the diocese. A video was shown regarding the brave men and women serving as chaplains on the front lines through the Armed Forces Federal Ministry. There are 100-plus chaplains who offer support, counseling, and spiritual healing to the diocese and to all the men and women who serve on our behalf. Grace Episcopal Church in Norfolk is the host church for the Union of Black Episcopalians. Their goals are to encourage strong leadership of clergy and laity in all parishes and to expand parish and diocese support. This is open to all ethnic groups for social and economic justice in the community, in the church, and in the world. If you have any questions on anything I've spoke about, please feel free to go to the diocese website. And if you have any other questions, Reverend Mimi or I will be here for you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Allison LeClaire, and I second Joni. It is a very interesting experience. So if you are ever asked or tasked to do it, I would highly recommend it. One of the most informative aspects of General Council for me was learning how our pledge to the diocese is spent. The diocese asks a 10% pledge from each parish, and I am sure many wonder where that money goes and towards what it is earmarked. As I learned this weekend, a chunk of the budget is allocated to various commissions, ministries, and missions at the diocesan level. The diocese then pledges to the wider church to support national programs. Several ministries and programs particularly stood out to me, and I wanted to share the good works that are happening at both the diocesan and national level. As Joni mentioned, at the national level, the church supports the armed forces and federal ministries. As Joni mentioned also, there are currently 100 Episcopal Armed Forces chaplains working alongside active duty units and often on the front lines. These chaplains lead worship, provide counsel, and conduct funerals, baptisms, and weddings. They are in a unique position to minister to our servicemen and women and often in very stressful, dangerous circumstances. Literally, the sun never sets on Episcopal chaplains as they carry out their ministry wherever service members and their families are located. At the diocesan level, we can see pledges supporting a variety of missions and ministries, which impact a variety of people across Southern Virginia. The campus ministry reported that 542 college students in 7 colleges and universities in our diocese are reached through their work. There are over 130 college students who regularly attend weekly chapel and various social functions. The important work of the college ministry is to raise up the next generation of Episcopal leaders, as well as provide a spiritual presence to college students who are demonstrating alarmingly high rates of depression and suicide. Also at the diocesan level, we support the Addictions and Recovery Commission, which is tasked with connecting people struggling with the disease of addiction to resources available across the diocese. This is a critical time to support this work as the use of opioids is dangerously on the rise across Virginia. Our diocese is fortunate to have 2 clergy members leading this mission, and Bishop Hollerith noted that not all dioceses have an Addictions and Recovery Commission. The commission chairs have been able to travel to share their expertise, most notably to Navajo land, as well as to plan education events locally to train clergy and laity about the disease of addiction and resources that are available to assist addicts and their families. Finally, at the local level in our diocese, we support the work of the Episcopal Relief and Development by appointing a local disaster coordinator to our diocese, whose job is then to assist parishes in identifying their areas of need during a disaster, as well as to help parishes be a presence to parishioners and surrounding communities during and after a disaster. Locally and recently, ERD helped obtain grants for Holy Apostle and St. Francis parishes in Virginia Beach to assist flood victims from Hurricane Matthew adjacent to those parishes. Like Joni said, more information about these commissions and ministries can be found on the diocese website, and feel free to ask me or Mimi or Joni any questions.
Just a couple other things we wanted to be sure you heard about. One is, and Allison has touched on it, the diocesan budget. Many people have asked me about it here. It's available online, or I can make you a copy if you'd like to see the actual diocesan budget in detail. It's voted on at council, and it was passed without much discussion. I will tell you that, and Allison also referenced this, that just as the parishes give to the diocese gives to the wider church. The diocese asked parishes to give 10% or the tithe, and next year Emmanuel will reach that goal of giving 10% or our portion to the diocese. The diocese is required to give at this point in time, I believe it's 18%. It was 19%, and most dioceses have not been able to reach that. So at the 2015 General Convention, it was voted that the giving by the diocese to the national church in 2019 would become 15% of their budget. And so, and if they don't reach it, there will be repercussions for that diocese. Now, at this point in time, it's 19%, no repercussions if you don't reach it. So 2019, 15% with repercussions. Our diocese, apparently, 7 or 8 years ago, was down around 7 or 8%, which was abysmal. And so they have worked over the years to raise their giving to the wider church. This year they reported they were at 12.5% is what they gave. And by 2019, our diocese will be at the goal of 15% to the wider church. One thing that going to the diocesan convention does is it opens your eyes to what goes on. We are just a small portion of the Episcopal Church. But like any church, we tend to become congregational and think, yep, we're the only ones that matter. But if you go to diocesan council, and as Joni referenced and Allison, your eyes are open to the tremendous work being done by people, not only across Southern Virginia, but literally across the world by the Episcopal Church. So next year, when we start looking for volunteers to go, particularly if you think it's a terrible idea, it is time for you to go. So I just recommend that, and we'll be talking. One last thing I wanted to mention was Camp Chanco, because I know it's very dear to many people here. And it's a very special place that's really thriving. Last year, there were 596 campers, was the highest number of scholarships awarded to campers, which included 17 homeless kids that got to go to camp last summer. And lots of groups have been added to Chanco. There's a winter camp this year. And once again, for I don't know how many years in a row, they were voted one of the best camps in Virginia. So Chanco is really thriving. So what they are going to do, because as many of you know from being at Chanco, there needs to be some work done on the buildings. And so they've done a study, and Chanco will embark on a capital campaign sometime within the next year to do this much-needed renovation on site. And so I'm sure we'll be hearing about that, and we'll have to decide both as individuals and as a church how we might want to respond to that for the request from Chanco. And so other than that, again, any questions, ask us. Diocesan website has all the council information online. It has the bishop's address online, all that stuff. And I also want everyone here to thank our delegates who gave up all day Friday and half their Saturday on your behalf to go to council. So thank you to them.